Startup is my new documentary film about a group of entrepreneurs and their teams working on artificial intelligence, drones, 3D printing, clean tech and biotech in Switzerland. I made this podcast to introduce the founders of the startups in the film. So these interviews took place behind the scenes and they won't be in the documentary. In this episode, I'm speaking with Elian Puchedu, co-founder of Gaia Membranes.
Hi, I'm Elian Puchedu, and I'm the CEO of Gaia Membranes. We have developed an ion exchange membrane, which is one of the key components for flow batteries and production of hydrogen. And these are technologies that are not very common today, but we'll see a lot more of them in the future.
What are applications of your technology?
So these are batteries that are used for applications like integrating renewables. That's the key application. So next to a solar farm or a wind farm, and to make sure that you get the electricity out when you need it. One of the key differences between what we do and what has been done before is that our membranes have been developed specifically for these type of batteries. And that's why we managed to increase their efficiency by up to 15%. And this means that you have more of the renewable energy that is then available for use.
How did you get into founding your own startup?
I remember it was actually the 2nd of January of 2017, it must have been now. And it was just after New Year's Eve, and I was celebrating with Fabio at his place. And he decided to pitch to us the idea that he had been working on through his PhD. So it was me and Fabio and our girlfriends as well. And he put up some PowerPoint slides in his kitchen and telling us all about his technology and the kind of positive feedback that he was receiving. And he was very excited, so I started looking into that. I've done engineering and I was in the energy field already before, so I was really skeptical at first and challenging. And as I learned more about the technology, I got excited and we decided to spend more time and eventually to do Gaia Membranes from this initial idea.
And how do you learn to be an entrepreneur?
Well, first of all, I am personally an engineer, so that's where I came in, kind of complementing Fabio's expertise as a chemist. But I also had a bit more experience dealing with business environment from my previous career. And I think the key there is really speaking to people, considering them as people and not just like rational decision makers about a technology and understanding how they experience problems with the current technologies, where there are opportunities for improving their work, the output of their work, and thinking more broadly than just from a very detailed technology view. So by having these conversations, you learn about what is there that matters beyond the specific technological improvements, and what are going to be the challenges to implementing a new technology in their systems, which is something that you cannot find out while you are in the lab. Apart from this learning, then you also need to speak to other people, advisors, scientific advisors, but also business advisors that help you foresee, for instance, who in the customer's organization could be also important to talk to apart from the technology people, because they will be involved in their decision making. So just to give you a flavor of all the kind of sources of very valuable information that we've been receiving input from over these past few years.
How is working in a company different from working in your own startup?
I think the sense of ownership and the alignment of interests is radically different. Here, there is never somebody that tells me, oh, you should do that, and I don't see the point of doing that. If I'm doing something, it's because I know it's going to hopefully lead to something that is useful. Apart from that, also the sense of responsibility over the output. So here there is no excuses. I'm telling myself an excuse, and this is something that, of course, has both its positives and its negatives, especially when dealing with challenges that are beyond the realm of your personal control. Then the question is, how do you deal with these challenges in a pragmatic way, not getting too excited about the good news, not getting to be daunted by the bad news, always finding kind of a good balance.
How was your expectation of being an entrepreneur different from how it turned out to be in reality?
To be fair, I never thought of doing a startup specifically until Fabio came up with the idea. So I didn't have many expectations. But since then, I spoke to so many different types of entrepreneurs, people that came from technology with a new idea, just like Fabio, and people that came from business and they wanted to have a startup. And I've seen all sorts of reasons for being an entrepreneur. So I think ultimately everybody brings something that is quite unique to them in that experience, that is not really one size fits all. And so I think for me, for me, there's been no particular difference between expectation and how it turned up to be. I guess I've learned a ton about things that are very useful to do while you are, when you're trying to be an entrepreneur, that I was completely unaware of. For instance, how to work with your team, how to motivate, how to motivate them, understanding what the contribution from each team member can be, and kind of not focusing always on the short term. Oh, I need to get this done, but also they also need to get something from this experience, learning over the next years. They need to feel involved in the project, and we've seen amazing results from that. So I'm very pleased that I had a chance to learn this before it was too late.
What are current things that you're learning as the CEO of your startup?
I think one of the critical learnings for me on a personal level has been around, and this is still happening, is around navigating new information, whether it's positive or negative, and really engaging with it and reacting it in a way that is healthy at a personal level and pragmatic at a work level. And let me be clear, sometimes you get fantastic news. Oh, you got some funding. This is going to allow you to do stuff that you weren't able to do before. That's great news. A lot of celebration. And then the day after, you might receive news from a customer. Oh, there was a problem with the technology. We had never seen it before. We don't understand why it's happened. This could be something life-threatening, potentially, because you never know at such an early stage how it's going to play out. And both of these cases outline the challenge that you can be very excited and then you can be very daunted. And kind of that's not necessarily the healthiest thing to be able to keep on pushing throughout. So finding that balance has been challenging, but it's absolutely critical. And I think I'm learning how to do that, but still a way to go.
What is an advice maybe that you'd give to someone who wants to become a startup entrepreneur?
I think I'd have two main advices. One would be of encouragement to pursue the search of his idea, whatever potential solution he has, and thinking what can help with that process, but also one of challenge and really thinking, is this idea something that is somebody has a need for? Or is this just an idea in your mind that doesn't have a counterfactual in the real world? Because I've definitely seen far too many ideas crushing because there was no real need for them, fundamentally. So at the same time, you can never know the answer too soon. So it's worth exploring. But you need to be working on the crucial challenges, on the crucial questions that could be breaking your idea. And that you need to do first before you do anything else, really.
And how important or how helpful was it to be in Switzerland with your startup?
I think there the most important thing really was to be in contact with other startups that were going through the same. And we have several of the startups here in Switzerland that we've been working with also, especially in Zurich area. But also, again, speaking to customers, really having honest and open conversations about their problems, your solutions, what could work, what needs to be found out. Speaking to people in general, it's crucial. Most of our customers are not in Switzerland because this is such a global market and batteries market. Batteries are made all over the world. We already have contacts in Korea, Australia, the US, and Europe, of course.
But still, what's the advantage of being in Switzerland?
I think that is one of the strongest associations to Switzerland is of high quality products, and this helps kind of getting people already having a positive mindset towards you. They might not know who you are, but they know, oh, this is the Paul Scherrer Institute. It's a reputable university or a research institute, and it's related to other famous universities. That certainly sets a good impression, and it helps us, our counterparties, to be more open to having conversations with us and increases our level of trustworthiness, I think. The reality is that there is always trade-offs, and the big advantage of Switzerland linked to a high quality of life also becomes more of a problem when we're talking about cost simply and competing with international companies when your cost base is much higher, clearly is a challenge as well.
How much of a motivation is it for you to focus on sustainability in what you're doing?
For me, it's absolutely vital part of what I'm doing. And I would have not considered doing a startup in a field that did not benefit the environment or potentially society in other ways. But my expertise and my studies were linked to energy, the environment. So this is where I saw my ability to contribute as being the strongest, absolutely critical part of my personal motivation. I think there is multiple dimensions to that. Clean energy is just one aspect of a much bigger transition that needs to happen. To use some other keywords, circular economy is another key one. You can do everything with clean energy, but if you're still producing the same amount of stuff, extracting resources and throwing them away, that's just shifting the problem somewhere else. And in fact, the more clean energy there is, the cheaper energy could become, so you would waste even more. In theory, that would be possible. So clearly, it's not about maximizing any single environmental, energy-related goal. It's about having an holistic view and thinking what needs to happen. This is where things like flow batteries actually really came into play. Vanadium being a fully recyclable material that you could just reuse for other batteries in the future. You know, this is something that really could make a difference in terms of having a sustainable, clean energy economy.
What is the dream, maybe, that you have for your startup in the future?
My dream is to combine the value proposition of the technology, which is to enable more clean energy to be out there fundamentally, with the internal aspects of, you know, a company culture that makes its employees happy to be part of it, that where there is a respect of work and life balance. And I think even the concept of work-life balance, kind of, it's probably obsolete, but where people feel empowered to contribute, but at the same time, and feel like they want to come to work in the morning. You know, this is so important. I'll be sad if we have a highly profitable company that does amazing things for other people, but its employees are feeling that they're missing out. They are not really committed to it. So these are two of the important dimensions. Integration in the local community is a third dimension. There is so many things to consider that would make the kind of perfect ideal vision. I'm also realistic that some of these things won't be as ideal as I hope, but we'll do our best to make sure that they are.
Startup and this podcast is produced by 8th Grade Story Driven Science and by me, Manuel Staggers. Startup is supported by the Gebhard Rüff Stiftung as part of the Scientainment program. Additional support from the Ernst Göhner Stiftung, Kultur Wetzikon, and the Canton of Valais. Visit the film website www.startup-documentary.com for more interviews like this one and for more information about the film, trailers, and showtimes.